Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, April the 8th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim. Good to be here.
Well, big day across North America, I guess. That's what I know about, but parts of the world, I guess, going to experience what today, Fred?
It is a solar eclipse. We have not seen one since 2017, and if you miss this one, it's going to be a long time before there's another one, they say. But 31 million Americans live in the path of this solar eclipse, due to start about 3 hours from now, about just after 1 o'clock Central Time. And, it's going to be exciting. People are excited about it. There are thousands showing up in places like Indianapolis, Little Rock, Arkansas. One of the more interesting aspects, a lot of people are interested to see how animals are going to react.
Yes.
There are reporters at zoos in Little Rock and Indianapolis because we know what's going on. The animals get really confused by all of this. There was somebody just on one of the Fox programs a few moments ago that, for example, like flamingos at a zoo, they all started gathering to go into bed for the night when they see things getting really dark. And places like Little Rock and Indianapolis, Dallas, they're going to see the maximum eclipse. Now, if you live a little further away, let's say you live in upstate New York, you're going to get about 90%. If you're off that path. So it heads up through Indianapolis and across through Vermont, New Hampshire, then goes on out into Nova Scotia, Newfoundland in Canada. So yeah. Exciting day. Now, the only problem is for a lot of folks, there's going to be cloud. And so that kind of diminishes the impact of it. You don't quite.
Well, I know, Wesley, you've done a lot of in-depth study on
I'm doing
on
it right now.
on this.
Sure.
Work with me here, Wesley.
We got to go.
We got to make a good impression on listeners.
That's right.
So I know you've done a lot of in-depth study on this and just the solar system in general.
Right.
And what have you learned? What can we expect?
Well, let me channel back to middle school. Channeling, hang on. So I was looking at it this morning. In the last couple of days, Chelsea, my wife, was making sure.
Just told you this was going to happen?
Yes. She didn't even tell me directly. I heard it indirectly because she was trying to get the glasses that was necessary for our kids to be able to do it at school.
Gotcha.
And I'm going, wait a minute. That's 2 days from now. Why am I just now hearing about this? I don't know. Maybe I was in my bubble over the weekend, but this morning, as we talked about it in our show prep, I was trying to figure out what was a major difference between a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse as far as the difference between them fit like visibly and the lunar eclipse apparently could last up to a few hours, whereas a solar eclipse is a few minutes.
Yeah, so, that's pretty good right there.
All right, there you go.
You said that's pretty impressive.
There you go. That
info you brought there.
And the caution is, in case people haven't heard this, do not try to look at this thing. Now they say they have these special glasses. Your sunglasses are no good, folks. Don't put sunglasses on.
You have to have special glasses.
Yes, a lot of people what they do, and we did this with the last solar eclipse. You get a piece of cardboard. You kind of put a hole in that piece of cardboard, turn away from the sun, and you can watch it, the shadow of this, like aim at a wall, and you can actually watch the moon move across the sun.
So you are a redneck, Fred.
Cardboard?
You've adopted well. If you're using some kind of contraption that you just mentioned. Actually, that does that does.
That's safe.
That's safe.
100%
But otherwise, you've got to have these special. I don't have them today, I don't plan on looking up because I like to see going forward in life if I can. So, but this, it is dangerous to look up.
Very.
At this. So this will occur. Is Jeff on?
Okay. And so also, and this is, I needed to be reminded of this too. So I know this may sound elementary for some. However, there's going to an audience this size. Just a reminder, the solar eclipse is when the moon is in perfect alignment with the sun.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah. That's lunar or solar?
The solar eclipse is what we're going to experience today is when the moon is in direct alignment with the sun, but because of the distance between the sun and the moon, it appears as if the moon is covering up the sun, even though the sun is 400 times larger than the moon. I learned that this morning, too.
Well, it's more than that.
Is the sun? I thought the sun was 400 times larger than the moon. You're saying it's even more than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the sun is a million times larger than the Earth, and the Earth is 5 times larger than the sun. Okay.
Uh-oh. You didn't get
that. No.
And the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone or something like that. I think that's how that song goes. All right. Well, it is a big deal today what we are going to experience across the U.S. and Canada, will also Mexico, I suppose, and I don't know who else. I don't know how. Yes, you're going to say?
Yeah, I get the second source says what I say, which is the sun's diameter, which is approximately 400 times larger than the moon.
Yeah. Listen, we'll talk about this off the air, okay? We'll do lunch.
Sorry. I just want, whether I'm wrong or right, I want the people to know what's right.
Yeah,
here.
Where you got your info.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So one of the places that this is going to be about 100%.
That's right.
Is Texarkana, Arkansas/Texas. And our good friend, Pastor Jeff Shreve, I asked him to come on this morning to talk about what he's going to be doing today. Pastor Jeff, you there?
Yes, sir, Tim.
So, am I right? It's coming right over the top of you guys.
Yeah, we've had a lot of hype about our area is going to be inundated with thousands and thousands of people. And somebody, a friend of mine, said, I think this might be Y2K.
Is there a lot of campers and RVs around that aren't usually there yet? Have you seen
No,
that?
I haven't seen any.
Okay. Was giving up at church yesterday? No?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know yet, Tim. They're still counting.
All right. So, but it is going to come right up. So it's a near 100% block, right, where you
live?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And there's some little towns. A friend of mine pastors in DeQueen, Arkansas, and some of those little towns, Mena, Arkansas, they're getting the full force of it. But even my friend that pastors in DeQueen, he said, we haven't seen, you know, anything of what they told us with all these thousands of people. So he was the one that told me he thought it was Y2K all over again.
Yeah. Well, have you got your glasses, your special
glasses? I do. I'm ready, Tim. Debbie and I are ready.
Okay, okay. Where did you get them? Dollar General or?
I think that's where she got them.
Well, I need to get me some. How long I got? 2 hours?
Yeah, you got plenty of time.
So, what is, Jeff, do you know what's going to happen exactly in terms of, I mean, is it going to be like a nighttime or semi-nighttime or what?
I tell people, listen, if you want to prepare, just go out. I told them yesterday, just go out at about 11 o'clock. That's what it'll be like.
Really?
You can watch it for hours.
Yeah, for how long is that going to last, that sort of?
Well, I think it's 4 minutes, something like that.
But, I mean, 4 minutes of darkness, so to speak? Or,
yeah.
I thought it was going to last longer than that.
No, I think it's just about 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, and that's so. Is that in general, or is that where you are? Because obviously it changes.
Yeah, I think where we are, they said 4 minutes. Okay. So the closer you are to X marks the spot. And it's
Fred?
Yeah, we also have a story from Texas grandfather. He's 105. This is going to be his 13th total solar eclipse.
Wow.
13th.
Wow.
So he's pretty excited about this.
Yeah. Hey, do you know if he got to experience any of the other ones, or did he just obviously alive during
Well, he's 13? Been an eclipse chaser since 1963.
Eclipse chaser?
And I saw an interview this morning. Some folks from Meridian, Mississippi drove to Little Rock because a lot of people want to experience
the whole
enchilada.
Is it? What's the cloud cover like today in Texarkana?
Yeah, it's cloudy today, which is not good for those guys.
Okay.
You know, if you're an eclipse chaser, I don't think you have to run very fast, do you?
Right. That's a good point.
So what do you do with your glasses when all this is over? You just put them on the...
I sell
put them
in
a box
fan.
For your great-great-grandchildren to pull out one day and go, hey, whoa.
Wait for 2040.
Yeah. I'm going to sell mine to Tim Wellman.
After you're done with
you
them.
Find a gullible... person to sail and says, well, yeah, it's coming around in another year. You'll need these.
Yeah. I'd like to ask Jeff, because there's been some people tried to put a spiritual spin on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They tried to compare it to
Jeff
the
can do it.
Hours of darkness at the crucifixion.
Listen to what he's about to tell you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. So I had a prophecy expert, Jeff Kinley, on the program this morning, and we were talking about that. And I played a clip from some pastor on Daystar. Some preacher was saying, hey, it's 4:8. Let's look at Exodus 4:8. This is a sign. And it's just ridiculous. Somebody else did a kind of a parody and said, you know, we had a 4.8 level earthquake in New York, and so these are all signs, and the eclipse is passing through all these towns named Nineveh, and I mean, it just gets ridiculous after a while.
Yes, it does.
There's only one there's two Texarkanas. I take that back.
I have not heard those yet. Of course, yeah. As I mentioned earlier, shamefully, I've been in a bubble the last couple of days, but. I know those are out there, and to your point, that's quite comical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Jeff, maybe we have you, assuming you don't go blind, we'll have you on tomorrow maybe, or sometimes tell us what it was like there.
Yeah, now we're geared up along with some other churches. You know, if we did have people in our parking lot, we're going to serve them hot dogs and have water and hopefully share the gospel with them. And so, but it doesn't look like...
hot dogs and water.
Yeah, hot dogs.
Well, it's getting... your missions outreach getting kind of thin there, isn't it?
Well, there
sign
might
me
be
up for hot dogs and water.
there might be a bag of chips in there.
Oh, wow. What a blessing.
Hey, listen.
We didn't know how many we were going to have, Tim.
Well, and also, we're in Biden economy right now.
I know. Okay? Well, that's true.
I mean, we're talking about...
That's not tap water, though, Tim. That's bottled water.
Oh, it's bottled water.
Oh.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Name brand, too.
Yeah.
Not your knockoffs.
He's probably not going to tell you, but there's probably some dessert there around there, but whatever's left over is going home with pastors. So.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Thanks,
Jeff. Guys.
Take care.
See ya.
Okay. Jeff Shreve. Pastor Jeff Shreve of the First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Texas, joining us there. And Texarkana is like right up ground zero in terms of the line that's coming over the U.S. Everybody's seen that.
There's, you know, a couple of serious sides to this. Make sure that kids are supervised. I know some schools are keeping their kids inside. You know, kids are curious.
That's what I wondered about. I mean, all of my grandchildren, Wesley's children are doing this today, and I just wondered, you know, one of the rules of humanity is if you tell kids not to do something 17 times, guess what they're going to try to do?
Yes.
You know, they're going to try to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Supervision. Tell them, stress, you must keep your glasses on if you're going to look up at this thing. I wonder what the science is behind the damaging of your retina or whatever.
Depends on how long you looked at it, you know, I would imagine, and how long you...
You would imagine. You're getting health advice on, quote, I would imagine, on something as serious.
What's the term?
I don't think you're supposed to look at it at all.
No. But I agree with you. You're not supposed to look at it. I thought you asked the question, how much damage would it do?
Yeah, I mean, it's not... you know, we're having fun here, but they're saying this could damage your eyes if you look at it. So I'm just wondering, but we don't know the answer to that. I wondered what the science was behind this causing damage to your eyes. Just looking up in the sky at the maybe it's the intensity of the sun rays.
The rays around the moon.
Around the moon.
Yes. Yeah. And it's this, what makes this one special too, the moon is in a lower orbit right now, and that's why it's covering more of the sun. So everything has kind of come together for a pretty spectacular time.
Okay. So again, we're in Central Time. What time is this supposed to happen?
Just after 1 o'clock, and from 1 to 1:45, somewhere in there.
Yep.
Okay. So
that's, you know, it'll start to get dark.
Yeah.
Around that time, and then you'll get the total for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then it'll ease away.
And it's supposed to finish up around in Maine, at the end of Maine, around 3:30.
As far as the U.S. goes, right?
That's correct. As far as the U.S. goes.
Now,
3:30. You know, another thing I saw this morning is this happens fairly frequently. However, it's most of the time it's in the ocean or in big waters where nobody experiences.
Oh, okay.
Unpopulated. So
that's right.
Does it go around the globe, Fred?
I can't answer that. I'm not sure. Just right now, because it's in a track where 31 million people live, this one's getting a lot of attention.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a first cousin lives in Cape Girardeau, and that's like also right over the top. Cape Girardeau and St. Louis, Indianapolis, right up the Ohio River, looks like. And then into your neck of the woods.
Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. Yeah, before it heads out over the ocean.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, I know I did not watch the game, but I bet you guys did. The championship game, women's basketball.
Oh, I did watch most of that, yeah.
Little disappointed if you're an Iowa fan.
Yeah, it was the University of Iowa versus South Carolina, University of South Carolina women's, and South Carolina women won the national championship, beat Iowa by 12, I think. Mm-hmm. And then it was an undefeated season for the
South Carolina?
For South Carolina, which was almost unheard of. And I don't remember the last time we've had an undefeated
champion.
NCAA basketball team on girls or boys. I know Indiana Hoosiers did it in the 70s. I don't know if it's even been done since then.
You'll occasionally see a team that has one or two losses, maybe three, go into the champion or go into the NCAA tournament. And I guess maybe even be undefeated, but to be undefeated and then to finish the season completely undefeated.
Like 38-0. They
perfect.
Yeah, so congratulations to the men's tournament ends tonight with Purdue and UConn. That's going to be a war, battle of the Titans.
Yep.
But the South Carolina coach, Dawn Staley.
Dawn Staley made news before the game. Yeah. She had a news conference. And I'm not sure if somebody asked her. I think a reporter asked her where she stood on the idea of men who say they are women playing in women's sports. And she doesn't have a problem with it. So I want to play you the clip where that she gave that response, cut number 10.
If you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate?
That's your question you want
basketball.
Me to ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. Yes. So now the barnstorm of people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game. And I'm okay with that. I really am.
Well, she didn't bring the topic up. She was asked about it, right?
Yes.
And she's asked, are you good with boys who say they're girls playing girls sports? And she says, I am.
Yep.
Did I misinterpret that in any way, Wesley?
No, you didn't misinterpret it. Yeah, that she can say that until she is faced with a 37-1 season where she loses, well, any game for that matter, but more particular, I mean, the championship game, because she's losing because she's playing against a grown man who says he's a girl, and he's on the other side of this where she loses.
Right. And then she'll say it's unfair.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
And Riley Gaines was asked about this. I think most of our audience know who's Riley Gaines.
Yeah.
She's lived what it's like to have to compete against a guy.
Right.
As a swimmer.
Right.
Yeah. And she was asked about this morning. Here's her response, cut number 11.
And look, I love and respect Dawn Staley. Two championships in 3 years. And 3 years at South Carolina, she's won two championships. I think her record is 109-3. That's unprecedented. So clearly she's great at what she does, and she's developed many incredible athletes whom I admire. But she's either proven yourself, to your point, to be entirely incompetent or a sellout. And personally, I don't think she believes what she said. If you watch the video, her silence, the hesitation, and that drink of water, I think it spoke volumes. I think she knew she had to be politically correct, and I know about as good as anyone that pressure exists, and it's real. But the bottom line is, she knows perfectly well that men's basketball, it's a totally different sport than women's basketball.
And I think Gaines went on to talk about if the coach of South Carolina faced the reality of her team having to play against a team where men were on that team,
right,
and her players started to get injured,
right,
how would she feel
about
that?
She lost by 50.
Yes.
She would change her tune.
Yes.
She did. I think Riley Gaines is on to what Dawn Staley, again, excellent college basketball coach. I mean, she's three championships now. She's an elite coach and recruiter. But it's not in her heart. She's just saying what she knows the politically correct answer is.
Or maybe even something she wished was true, but it's not. Like she may wish that would work out because it would play in her political favor, but it's just not reality.
No, and so it's dumb.
Yeah.
What she is a very smart lady saying a very dumb thing, and as Riley Gaines says, I don't even think she believes it. If you were able to have a follow-up question with her and you would say, so you're good with somebody like LeBron James claiming to be a girl playing in your sport, you're good with that. And she would say, she would hem-haw.
Oh, right, yes.
So, now she's a wokester, okay? Mm. On other issues, she's very, quote, progressive. She's very woke. A great coach, but that's a dumb thing to say. And I guarantee you, if you surveyed her girls who play on her team and you asked them, do you want to play against guys and consider that fair, they would say no.
Yeah. Right.
They would say no.
But I think this is a warning. If you are a coach of a girls team and you've got reporters in front of you, you're probably going to get hit with these questions now.
Yeah.
Right.
Because these reporters – are trying to,
you know, this is not a hard answer.
this
is not a hard answer. And I know that you will be criticized by the lefties and the wokesters, but this is not, you just need to say, listen, of course I don't believe in boys playing girls sports.
Right.
There's a reason we separate them. There's a reason we're having a girls championship today and a boys championship tomorrow, which is tonight. And next question. This is not hard. This is such silliness going on in our culture and our society with this whole issue right now.
It's so just, feelings represent reality, Dad.
Oh, is that what they tell you?
Yeah, well.
Feelings.
Anyway, feelings. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on American Family Radio, live radio show right here. Tim, Wesley, and Fred, and we were talking about the, did you say it's solar eclipse, Fred?
Solar eclipse, that's correct.
As opposed to a lunar eclipse.
Correct.
If you want to know my...
And Wesley went into depth on the difference.
I was going to remind them, if they needed to go back and get a full review of this, they can go back on AFR.net.
Okay, and listen to your, you waxed eloquent on all this earlier in the hour. Well, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, you need, we've told you, you need special glasses today to look at this. If, assuming you live in that area that is affected, and we are here where we live in Tupelo, so I was handed some special glasses here, which, somebody got in the bin at Dollar General, it appears, they're medical king. Now, I'm told these work. So I'm gonna try it. I guess you learn if it don't work, huh? Yes. Learn pretty quick.
Ouch.
Huh? You think I ought to go with this? Fred Chuck Munn, our security guy, handed them to me. Okay.
Does he like you?
Listen.
That's another
good
question.
These are little flimsy paper glasses with...
It's the lens, though.
I know, but it says... And they got user instructions here, which the fine print's too small to read. And then it's got a big warning thing.
Yeah, and then what you're not going to find on there, because it's in an asterisk somewhere, is the date.
Yeah,
out of date.
It does say directly. Oh, out of date. Expiration date.
Expiration date.
And we're not responsible if it doesn't work.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Speaking about expiration date, I want just give me 30
go ahead.
Seconds here. So my wife and I have 3 children. They've all been in car seats. One of them is still in a car seat. The other two have graduated.
Not incarcerated. Car seat.
Well. On each child that we've had, Chelsea says something about buying a new car seat. And I was like, well, you know, there's a reason we kept ours, you know. Well, there's an expiration date on. What? There's not an expiration. And then she found it and showed it to me. So somebody convinced her, somebody told her about it, about there being an expiration date on a car seat.
On a car seat.
And I said, no way. And then she showed it to me, and it's still, while it's there, and I think it's ridiculous, I am not buying another car seat. Another $250.
No, that's what they are. Car seat companies put that on
yes,
there.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
That's like change your oil every 3,000 miles.
When you go.
It's not necessary.
No, it's, yeah.
Change it.
Okay, I got
anyway,
it out. I'm better now.
Anyway, I'm just reading the directions on here. If you need directions on how to put on these things, I feel sorry for you. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see. You like that pun?
Yeah, there you go.
We'll see.
Anyway, we'll see how these work. If I'm not here tomorrow, you'll know they didn't work right. Listen, you're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim, Wesley, and Fred, and we hope you're having a great day. It's Monday, April the 8th. We have two friends with us who have traveled a long way to visit with us. They are from Togo, West Africa, and they are pastors and Christian missionaries there in their native country. And joining me in studio is Koku Loco.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, brother.
Thank you, my team.
And you're not making that up.
No, that's his name.
Yeah.
Koku Loco.
Yeah, so.
Sounds like a restaurant, but it's actually his name. And he's been with me enough to know.
Right.
He doesn't get offended.
So don't email about that.
Yeah, he doesn't get offended.
Okay. No, okay. Not at all.
And his lovely and talented wife, Yvette.
Yes, sir.
Yvette, did I pronounce
it
correct?
Yeah, you pronounced it right. That's good.
And Loco.
Loco.
Yeah,
yes.
Because you guys are married, and
in
your home country, you take the name of the male.
Yes, sir.
In marriage. Now, Yvette, I'll start with you. You and your husband do missionary work, but missionary work, it's not foreign missions. It's missionary work in your home country, right?
Yes.
Tell us where your country is in Africa and what the makeup of the people are.
Okay, thank you, Brother Tim, and thank you, everybody that is tuned on the radio EFR. And I'm from Togo, West Africa, and Togo is just a small country, like a little rectangle between Ghana on the west and on the east, Benin. And on the north, we have Burkina Faso. And on the south, we just neighbor of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a very small country geographically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many people live there?
Right now, we are 7 million people.
7 million people?
Yes, sir.
Togo, I'm showing. I've got a map here on my phone. I'm showing Koku.
Yes, sir.
And
nice, Togo.
The map's right.
Yeah.
So right. That, you're not far from Nigeria.
Mm-mm.
No, one country between Togo and Nigeria, which is Benin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was your? We're going to get to your ministry there in just a moment, but Koku.
Yes, sir.
The history of Togo. Was your country? How is the boundaries of your country set?
Well, we call them these imaginary boundaries because before the European came in, we were all one people. Mm. So after the colonial period, they divided the country after World War II.
Yes.
Yeah. They start dividing the country. Formerly, it was the German who were in Togo on a deal called Protectorate. So when they lost the war, they kicked them out. And the French and the British move in. So they start dividing the country. They took a portion without consideration of who is here, who is there. They just divided. Reason why they end up by splitting one group, ethnic group, in two.
Ethnic group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like Ivory Coast is French speaking.
Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the next country is Ghana, the former Gold Coast, was given to the British. Benin and Togo one time were one country, French-speaking country.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that is how they divided Nigeria, English-speaking country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Koku, tell us your testimony, your Christian testimony.
Oh, thank you, Brother Tim. I will make it short. I don't know if I can, but God help me. In 1979, you know, Togo.
You're 63 years old. Just want to tell
people. Yeah, I am.
Go ahead.
Yeah. 1979, a friend of mine called Simon, came to me. We were about 18 years old. He was like 19. That he has been invited to attend an evangelistic meeting conducted by an American missionary. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. We're French speaking country, but I have yet to meet a French missionary. We know French philosophers, French mathematicians, they never send a missionary.
Hmm.
So that was 1979. I didn't want to go because my friend's mom was Madame Voru. She was born to an Iro guard.
Madame Voodoo. Did you say Madame Voodoo?
Yeah, that is how she called.
Your friend's mom, the one who got born again?
Yeah, his mom.
Okay, got you.
Yeah. Later on, she too got saved. But, you know, okay. The beginning, we're not supposed to get anywhere close to church building.
I got you.
So when Simon came, I told Simon, I ain't going nowhere. Because I know when his mom found out,
right,
I'll be toast.
Right.
I'll be dead meat. So he went. In the space of 2 hours, my friend Simon came back loco, crazy. And he came back, prompt the house, we built house with entrance gate. He wall around it. The gates, you have to go to the central gate. I was standing outside. He prompt the gate open and was literally out of breath. Mm-hmm. Ratim was telling me that, oh, I got saved. Yeah, he got saved. I got saved. Je suis sauvé. Je suis sauvé in French. And he wanted me to get me saved on the spot. And I said, Simon, if you really, really got saved, you don't tell me. Go and tell Madame Voodoo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
His mother.
I know she will kill him.
Are you serious? I mean.
Oh, no, I'm serious. It was serious. The kind of woman that is, everybody was afraid of her. Mm-hmm. And when she meant business.
Okay.
So it was that, and it took Simon 2 weeks, and then I told Simon, I need to talk to your missionary. And because in high school we were taught philosophy, how God does not exist, so I was prepared to meet the missionary. So one Wednesday night prayer meeting, the missionary came out, got out in his Volkswagen, and there we went in his garage. He opened the Bible and started reading from Ecclesiastes. Young man, rejoice in your youth. Do whatever your heart tells. In a moment, I stopped. I said, is that the Bible? Was he reading from the Bible? I didn't know the end of that verse. The verse said, but no, mais c'est que pour tout cela, Dieu t'amènera en jugement. But no doubt that for all this, God would, you know, bring you to judgment. And that carried right into my heart. I forgot about my philosophy or the questions. Mm-hmm. And I raised my hand. And that was April 1979.
You gave your life to Christ.
To Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're talking to Koku and Yvette. Loco, L-O-K-O. They're from Togo. So the locos are from Togo.
Yeah.
And it's a small country of 7 million people, and geographically it's really tiny, like probably looks like to me about half the size of Mississippi maybe or Alabama in West Africa. So did you know Koku Ibet at the time when he got saved?
I wasn't saved in 1979, and I didn't even know him. My mom was in his church. So my mom got saved, and we were with my dad. My mom and dad are not together. So one day, my dad said, yeah, you go and join your mom. I said, what? My dad was in a cult, and I was 7 years old.
In a cult. Okay, gotcha.
Like a mysticism and all that.
Mysticism. Please forgive me. I know our listeners are getting annoyed at me interrupting here, but I'm just trying to, some words I'm trying to help interpret for the listeners so they can follow the story.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
And I was 7 years old when I was in that cult with my dad. And I was the firstborn too. We go till I was age 16 and going to 17 when my dad say, well, you go and join your dad. You're not going to stay with me anymore, me and my two siblings. So I didn't want to go and stay with my mom because I knew later on, well, during my 16 years that she got saved in Koku's church, So I knew if I go and stay with her, I have to go to that church, which I didn't want to go to. And we went, my dad said, you have to go. So we went to my mom, and I told my mom, it was in summer, I'm going to stay with her little sister, my aunt. I'm going to stay with her during the summer for vacation. I have in mind that I'm not coming back to her. When vacation is getting close to the end to start school, I went to see my mom, and she said, well, Yvette, you have to come back home with me. And she talked and she talked. I started crying. I have no choice. I came back to my aunt and told her, aunt, I have to go and stay with my mom. In my mind, I wanted to stay with my aunt, so from time to time, I can go to my dad and visit with the cult. It was then that when you stay with my mom, you have to go to church. Mm-hmm. So I started going to church. And at that time, he was the koku, my husband, was the one teaching Sunday school. Mm. And in Africa, everybody stay in one
community
building, they teach the Sunday school to everybody,
right,
teenager or grown-ups. So he was teaching the book of Matthew, the whole Matthew from the beginning till. And when I was listening, it got into my heart, like, all your burden, put them on Jesus' feet, and he'll take care of you. And I didn't want to go to hell too. And all that get into me. And it was in 1986, in October, that I confessed my sin. And I told the Lord that now I give up. I give my life to him.
Amen.
And he can do anything he wants to do with me. And later on, that I got baptized, and then we got,
you started dating, and then you got married.
We get engaged. We get engaged, I would say, in 1988, sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he left to come to the state for his schooling.
Gotcha. Yeah. Seminary.
Yeah, seminary.
Yeah, Bible school.
We got engaged for 5 years.
Okay.
And it's 1993. In August 28th, that we got married.
Yeah, but you came to the States for your Bible school.
Yeah, I came in 88 for my Bible school. It took me a while. And you know, also in Africa, when you get engaged, you have to pay the dowry.
Do what?
You pay the dowry. Mm-hmm.
Dowry?
A dowry.
Dowry. Haven't paid dowry?
No, I didn't. I didn't sign up for that one. I just asked her to go out.
It's in Genesis 24.
We got engaged. I'm sorry.
Genesis 24, you should read your Bible.
I do read my Bible, but I missed that one. I'm sorry.
Very biblical.
It took 5 years for me.
I thought you said you wrote in your diary.
It's a diary. It's D-O-W-R-Y.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you guys got married, you had a family, you went back to your home country after Bible school. I'm skipping to the story here.
Yeah.
What year was it that you came to the U.S. and you came by our offices here at American Family Association, American Family Radio, in Tupelo, Mississippi? Because that's the reason you're sitting here today, because way back when, 20 years ago or 30, I don't know when it was, you came by here, you didn't know us, we didn't know you. But somebody had said, you need to go meet with Don Wildman, who is my father, who, dad passed away in December, but he was the founder of this ministry, and you got to meet with him. So how did that all happen?
Well, the beginning, we went home, and at that time, we listened to some Christian radio in 1998. And what we heard was appalling. It was not the gospel.
Okay.
So Yvette and myself, we have a wishful thought if one day we can have a radio station. So one thing led to another. And in 2001, a friend from Broadmoor Baptist in Madison, Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah.
flew all the way to Togo and helped us get the last license that they are for.
The government was giving a license for your radio station. You got the last one.
The last one. So he helped us to get that.
Okay.
And after that, well, the guy in charge was planning to change. He got mad that the license was given to us. So he was looking for a way to, you know, retake the license. So instead of 3 months, he didn't give us the license. So the brother never came back. So after that, we got a license. We need to put the radio on the air. We didn't have anything. It was then that a brother in Christ, who is with the Lord now, Bill Collier, at North Oxford Baptist Church, heard.
North Oxford Baptist Church in Oxford, Mississippi.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You were. That's one of the churches that was supporting your ministry.
Yes, sir. They still do.
Okay, still do. Anyway, he told you what?
No, he called your dad. That's, you know.
Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
And your dad said, well, if that is the case, we don't want, you know, them to lose their license. And he packed a transmitter and a bunch of stuff, you know, and microphone. And
my dad did that?
Yeah.
I remember when that, when that happened.
And the same.
So just the main point here is that Koku and the gentleman from North Oxford Baptist Church.
Yeah, Bill Collier. Bill,
who's deceased. He's gone. Yeah. You came to Tupelo.
After I came back and we put the radio on the air,
okay,
I came back to say thank
you. But my dad heard your story.
Yeah.
And then we had equipment here at American Family Radio that we could send you to get you on the air before you lost your license.
Yeah, you did.
So we shipped it
to
your home, and then you took it and went on the radio. You got the radio station on the air.
Mm-hmm. In 2002.
It's a Christian radio station that reaches probably 1 million people or so, something like that, maybe?
It can be more than that. Because
more than that.
In the city, you have 2.5 million and all the surrounding village and town. So we reach quite a bit.
Yeah. And it's still going strong today.
Still going,
it's still going strong today.
So you came by our offices, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, because I was with the pastor who pastored that church.
Yeah.
And he now lives in Clinton. So I got there, and every time we talk about radio, and we were talking, and he told me that our brother, dear brother Don, went home. And that was the reason why in Africa we have to come and say, express our condolences.
So that's where. So you guys came up here unannounced, I think. I mean, I don't think y'all told me you were coming.
No.
Somebody told me, hey, we got a couple from Africa in the lobby. They want to see you. And I'm going like, They said, your dad, Don, helped get them a radio station. They want to.
Yeah,
they want to pay their respects because your dad passed away and they're in the country. And so Yvette, y'all came by and I said, why don't you come back and visit us? And you got to share with staff this morning.
Yeah.
So anyway, and your children, so you have a beautiful ministry in.
Yes. Well,
in your home country.
For the law, it's not us, but it's for God's people.
How do you support it? How do you make money to support it?
Well, churches in here support us.
U.S. churches, right?
Yes.
Support you financially? Yeah,
financially.
And individuals?
Individual and some friends.
Some friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before you forget.
Yeah, you're affiliated with the.
Yep, that's what
okay.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. So, Koku and Yvette, LOKO, are with us. They're from Togo, West Africa. But the U.S. ministry that oversees it helps you out, facilitates everything, is called Global Impact Ministries.
Ministries Incorporated.
And they're in Alabama.
Montgomery, Alabama.
Global Impact Ministries.
I'm looking at their website now. It's GIMI.world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whose website?
The one of the ministry that you just mentioned, which is Global Impact Ministries. It's GIMI.world. And there you can see the places that they, the hospital, the Grace Hospital, you can.
So you're building a hospital.
It's already
finished.
Yeah.
We just opened it. Yeah.
You just opened a hospital?
Yeah.
On February the 2nd. One of the reasons why we rushed back.
Can you put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page, Brent, in case people are there and they want to link there? This is amazing what you guys are doing in your home country. We'll head to Wesley. Go ahead. You want to say
something? Well, I was just going to say that it is, and they continue on in the ministry that God's called them to do, and they're sharing the gospel. They're also providing the needs, meeting the needs of the people in their community, so much so that they have a radio program on the
health and nutrition that Yvette hosts, right, Yvette?
Yes, sir. I do nutrition.
So do you have any questions about whether I should use these little flimsy glasses today to look at the sun? What would you say if I called into your show and asked you that? What would you say?
Well, since I will say they put it up there, if it's right to use, you just use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Where can people go to support your work?
That is the web.
That's the website. The website.
That's good enough.
Yeah. Or I can give you another number of.
That's all right. You can give it to me. It's off the radio.
Okay.
On the break.
Okay.
Can put it up on the Facebook page because we're running out of time.
Okay. Global Impact Ministries out of Montgomery, Alabama are the ones that they work with. And do you take people come to your country like doctors and nurses and missionaries?
Since 2004. In fact, in July, another team is coming from North Oxford.
Oh, North Oxford.
Yeah.
In July of this year, North Oxford Baptist Church,
yeah.
A team is coming.
And then one is coming from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Okay. And, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.